A Modern Mephistopheles by Louisa May Alcott. The indescribable, here it is done. The woman soul leadeth us upward and on. Second part of Faust. 1. Without, a midwinter twilight, where wandering snowflakes eddied in the bitter wind between a leaden sky and frost-bound earth. Within, a garret, gloomy, bare, and cold as the bleak night coming down. A haggard youth knelt before a little furnace, kindling a fire, with an expression of quiet desperation on his face, which made the simple operation strange and solemn. A pile of manuscript lay beside him, and in the hollow eyes that watched the white leaves burn was a tragic shadow, terrible to see, for he was offering the firstborn of heart and brain as sacrifice to a hard fate. Slowly the charcoal caught and kindled, while a light smoke filled the room. Slowly the youth staggered up, and gathering the torn sheets, thrust them into his bosom, muttering bitterly, "Of all my hopes and dreams, my weary work and patient waiting, nothing is left but this. Poor little book, we'll go together and leave no trace behind." Throwing himself into a chair, he laid his head down upon the table, where no food had been for days, and closing his eyes, waited in stern silence for death to come and take him. Nothing broke the stillness but the soft crackle of the fire, which began to flicker with blue tongues of flame and cast a lurid glow upon the motionless figure with its hidden face. Deeper grew the wintry gloom without, ruddier shone the fateful gleam within, and heavy breaths began to heave the breast so tired of life. Suddenly a step sounded on the stair, a hand knocked at the door, and when no answer came, a voice cried, "Open!" in a commanding tone, which won instant obedience and dispelled the deathful trance fast benumbing every sense. "The devil!" ejaculated the same imperious voice, as the door swung open, letting a cloud of noxious vapor rush out to greet the newcomer, a man standing tall and dark against the outer gloom. "Who is it? Oh, come in," gasped the youth, falling back faint and dizzy as the fresh air smote him in the face. "I cannot, till you make it safe for me to enter. I beg pardon if I interrupt your suicide. I came to help you live, but if you prefer the other thing, say so, and I will take myself away again," said the stranger, pausing on the threshold as his quick eye took in the meaning of the scene before him. "For God's sake, stay!" And rushing to the window, the youth broke it with a blow, caught up the furnace, and set it out upon the snowy roof, where it hissed and glowed like an evil thing, while he dragged forth his one chair and waited, trembling, for his unknown guest to enter. "For my own sake, rather. I want excitement, and this looks as if I might find it here," muttered the man with a short laugh, as he watched the boy, calmly curious, till a gust of fresh air swept through the room, making him shiver with its sharp breath. "Jasper Helwise, at your service," he added aloud, stepping in and accepting courteously the only hospitality his poor young host could offer. The dim light and shrouding cloak showed nothing but a pale, keen face with dark, penetrating eyes, and a thin hand holding a paper on which the youth recognized the familiar words, "Felix Canaris." "My name? You came to help me? What good angel sent you, sir?" he exclaimed with a thrill of hope, for in the voice, the eye, the hand that held the card with such tenacious touch, he saw and felt the influence of a stronger nature, and involuntarily believed in and clung to it. "Your bad angel, you might say, since it was the man who damned your book and refused the aid you asked of him," returned the stranger in a suave tone which contrasted curiously with the vigor of his language. "A mere chance led me there today, and my eye fell upon a letter lying open before him. The peculiar hand attracted me, and Forsyth, being in the midst of your farewell denunciation, read it out and told me your story." "And you were laughing at my misery while I was making ready to end it?" said the youth, with a scornful quiver of the sensitive lips that uttered the reproach. "We all laugh at such passionate folly when we have outlived it. You will, a year hence, so bear no malice,